Good evening and welcome to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. This is hour two. We're so thankful that you're here with us. We are here every Saturday and Sunday night from 9 p.m. to midnight, talking about all aspects of the paranormal. Remember, too, if you can't listen live, all of our shows are archived on our site within a few hours of the time they air, so you can check that out. Quick announcements before we get into our first guest of the evening. We have some advanced tickets to give away, Tim, for the brand new comedy from Ricky Gervais and Greg Kinnear called Ghost Town. We're having an advanced screening of Ghost Town. It's going to be at 7:30 at the AMC Maple Grove on Wednesday, September 17th. Again, that's going to be the advanced screening of Ghost Town. It's going to be at 7:30 at AMC Maple Grove on Wednesday, September 17th. Come out and join Dave, Tim, and the lovely Nicole Remini as we're going to be out there premiering the movie with you. Get a chance to meet you, say hi. So come on out and have some fun. We have 25 passes to give away. The pass is good for you and a guest. All you need to do is call in, talk to Tim. He's going to take your name. And then it'll be at will call at the theater. You just come on out there. Show up probably about 6:30 so you can get in line and get in for the advanced screening and check in. Again, if you want tickets, advanced screening at Ghost Town. Now we're going to go to our first guest of the evening and our first trip into the darkness on the edge of town with our first guest here, Linda McKenzie. And Linda has got a first documentary short film in the Psychic Secrets Unveiled series. I just found information on this. It sounds fantastic. Unprecedented in scope. The film breaks new ground deciphering and presenting historical data and little-known facts, along with her personal experiences and others. There are over 17 different distinct types of psychic ability that exist in the world of the paranormal phenomenon. And that's why we wanted to have Linda on the show tonight to discuss those. Linda, like most people out there, I guess I didn't realize that there were that many different aspects and facets of psychic phenomena. I've known telekinesis, psychic and mediumship, and I guess that's about as far as I was able to go into this field. Now, this is amazing to me. There are definitely 17 distinctive different psychic personality traits.
Yes, there are, and each one is a little different. And I've been psychic since I'm 8 years old, and there's about, I really think that psychic ability is really where you're interpreting energy, and there's energy in all things. And so as we progress in psychic ability, I've been studying this for over, I've been using it for over 50 years, and I've actually studied it for over 38 years. And so I'm kind of this old soul instead of this new psychic stuff that comes up.
Right.
I'm kind of, this old soul thing that, my own personal study, and this is from my own personal study, and because everybody's experiences are different. And but the reason that I did this DVD is because just what you were saying before. For example, you were saying telekinesis. Well, telekinesis was what it was originally called, when they thought that poltergeists and spirits and stuff were doing things. But they actually find now that a lot of human interaction is coming into these things, and that's why the term telekinesis changed to psychokinesis.
Oh, okay. But,
yeah, so my DVD is trying to give you the truth without bias, because everybody's belief is different, and
right.
We want to make sure that we respect all of that. But so I wanted to, get rid of these untruths. A lot of the stuff that you see on TV is sensationalistic. I mean, so many people say, oh, well, there's dark forces of ghosts and evil. Well, evil does exist, but for the novice to even attempt to be or anything that's happening is evil, it's usually not, especially with ghosts. There's hardly any evil ghosts out there.
That's good to know.
It's less than a 1% chance that you would get an evil manifestation.
I think a lot of people, and maybe you find this too, they mistake. If you feel your clothes being tugged or your hair pulled or a touch, they automatically assume it's something bad. And maybe that's just the only way that the spirits have to communicate with you, and they're just like a child trying to get your attention.
Well,
I think a lot of people misinterpret that.
Let me say this. I worked with the International Society for Paranormal Research, and we did things for the British government and the Philippines and all sorts of stuff. And what I find is that it does take an awful lot of energy for a ghost to manifest. Okay, so if somebody is pulling at you or pulling your clothes, it's not an easy thing for them to do, and they lose that energy force. So most ghosts won't even be doing that, although some do. I mean, I can remember being in the comedy store up here in Hollywood, and we were doing something for one of the TV programs, and one of the ghosts would always like to look up women's skirts.
Okay.
So I was wearing a dress, and he was, you know, so I did get that. So on occasion, you can get that, but most of the time, they can maybe manipulate breeze or whatever, but or wind or
easier, secondary thing. Lighter things. You know, I want to start real quick before we delve too much into this. You know, our listeners always like to know a little bit about the speaker that we're talking to. And Linda, you mentioned that you started about the age of 8 that you found out that you had abilities. And you were able to talk to angels and ghosts. How do you differentiate, first of all, between what an angel and what a ghost is as an 8-year-old child?
Very, very differently.
Okay.
Extremely different. There's a different energy.
Now, did you wake up one morning and all of a sudden, boom, you just had this ability? Or did it slowly...
No. As a matter of fact, it was very interesting. I grew up in Catholicism. And I was walking home from church one day, and I saw God in the clouds. And, of course, God is really everything and all things, and I do believe in God.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe that most people that are psychics talk to the universe or universal energies, because you can, you know, there are no secrets. You can talk to anybody that you want. Where you can get the truth is from the source, and people call it the source. I don't care what anybody calls their God. But and so I did see God, and after that I had all of the abilities. And
now, when you say you saw God, did you see just a bright light? Did you see George Burns' face? What did you see?
because what I saw was God, and because he was going to manifest to me, to an 8-year-old, he didn't want to frighten me. So the Catholic Church had this guy with this long white, you know, beard and long white hair, and that's how it manifested to me.
Okay, so you saw the quintessential version of God, the long flowing robes and the white hair and beard. And
right.
Okay.
Right, and it's a very different energy.
Now,
and
did he speak to you, or did he just look you in the eyes and that kind of unleashed your abilities?
It was, yes, it's a knowing.
Okay.
It's a transfer of energy.
Now, did you actually hear a voice in your head at all from him, or no? It was just
it's a knowing.
Almost like he downloaded to you.
Kind of like that, yeah.
All right.
Yeah. And after that, you know, I didn't know what it was. You know, I'm eight years old kicking around, you know.
Right.
But I would go to school, and I grew up in a very not so good part of New York. And when I would go to school, you know, I would see an angel, and the angel would say to me, you know, don't go home this way, go home this other way. So I would just do it. And it would so happen there would be a murder or a rape on that street that I was going on. And then I did a lot of my first ghost that I saw. There was this old house down two blocks away, and you know, a bunch of us kids went ahead and went in the house, and I saw this boy on this top of the spiral staircase, and he was dressed kind of funny. And I went upstairs and I talked to him, and he showed me his toys, and his mom was dressed funny, and I was talking to her, and I came downstairs. And my girlfriend was there, and she was just staring at me. And I said, what's the matter? And she says, you've been standing there, and you haven't been saying anything. And I said, well, you know, there's this kid. Did you see this kid? And she said, no, there's nobody there. I said, well, come upstairs. He has this great room, and he's got these great old toys, and they're all made of wood and blah, blah, blah. And she said, Linda, turn around. And when I turned around, the staircase to the second floor was in rubble. And it was very interesting because I was always this analytical type of person. I was an engineer for 18 years, and the first woman data communications engineer in any airline in the world, and used to design air-to-ground radio and whatever. So I have a very good balance of left and right brain. And so what ended up happening is I just... when we were about 12 years old, we were always going to the library, my friend Ginger and I, and we go into the library, and she opens this book on old houses, and there was the old house, and There was a picture of the staircase as it was. There was a picture of a room with the same exact toys that I had described, as well as a picture of the boy, because there was something wrong with his leg. And it turned out that this kid in the picture, you know, 4 years later or whatever, he had had polio, was in a brace, and his mother was dressed in the same thing. And Ginger said, look at this. So that led me on a journey of trying to decipher where the energy was coming from and what it was. And it took me almost 30 years before I came out as a psychic, because I wanted to make sure that what I was getting was truth. And I would have precognizant dreams, and I would write them down, and I'd give them to a girlfriend, and I'd bring somebody with me when the dream would occur. I'd bring somebody with me, and I'd say, hey, Eileen, take out that dream about the Ferris wheel. And so I would always have a witness to the thing. And so I learned about energy. And I find that, you know, there's all types of energy, and there's actually abilities, psychic abilities associated with the six senses, as well as psychic abilities of channeling, two separate, distinct, different things. So what I wanted to do was I wanted to dispel the misconceptions and unveil the truths of psychic ability. And it's really interesting, you know, because really we all have psychic ability. It is not a special talent or gift. It's a matter of how we develop it. And intuition is really isn't psychic ability. It's kind of the precursor. And then you test that intuition, and then everybody has different kinds of gifts that they excel at. And then you just, and it's a personal journey. No one can teach you to be psychic.
Well, let's talk about more about that when we come back. We have to take our first break of the evening. You're listening to The Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show with our guest, Linda McKenzie. We'll be back with more right after this. Good evening and welcome back to The Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. We still have some tickets available. Give us a call right now. Tim's taking your calls. You can come out and see an advanced screening of the brand new comedy Ghost Town that starts up next Wednesday, September 17th. Tim is going to be there. I'm going to be there. And the lovely Nicole, our movie critic, is going to be on hand. We're going to introduce the movie. We hope to meet you out there. We have 25 sets of tickets to give away. The ticket is good for you and a special guest. So please give us a call and we'll meet you out there for the movie. Going back to tonight's show, our guest is Linda McKenzie. And I invite you to check out Linda's website while we're doing the show here. If you're online, otherwise you can get home, check it out on our website at darknessradio.com in the upcoming show section. You can go read all about Linda and there's a link. But right now you can check her out at lindamckenzie.net. And that's Linda, MackenzieNet. Linda, before we went to break, we were talking about the experience you had when you were in the old home and you saw, you got to the top of the stairs. Now, you went upstairs with this child. You saw his room. How do you explain your physical body stopping? And were you in a form astral projecting? Do you think
that? Yes, almost like that.
Okay.
And that's kind of what remote viewers do, and that's a lot of confusion because all of these things are really, a lot of them are typically the same. And I wanted to make sure that everybody knows the differences so that they can you know, use that in their own, developing their own ability. So, yes, it was almost like an astral projection. You know, it's kind of like a dream state, you know, where you're off and you're actually there, and you can touch these people. And in actuality, I believe that dream states actually are real, and that we're in different kinds of, you know, realms at that and when we sleep.
Now, you just mentioned something interesting, and I want to play on this. You were talking about the sleep realms and being in that dream state, and that you can physically touch these things. Knowing that you've dealt with both angels and ghosts, I had an experience. Part of what drives me, as I've mentioned on the show before, part of what drives me into understanding the paranormal and wanting an answer of what comes next is I've had an overwhelming fear of death since I was a child. As far back as I can remember, I would lay awake at night, unable to sleep, worrying about what comes next. And, you know, I don't know if that's normal for a five-year-old kid, but even at the age of 40, almost 41, I still have those nights. My grandfather passed away going on 18 years ago, and my grandfather was everything to me. It just totally destroyed my world for a long time, and I had a hard time wrapping my head around it. It was probably about a month after his passing, and I had what I call a lucid dream, a visitation dream. I can't tell you what the dream was up to that point. I just remember being in a field, and then I heard my grandfather say, David, and I turned around, and I was in his house in Louisiana, and I turned back around, and the field was gone, and I was standing there. I looked out the window, and he lived in Louisiana. They had the old slave quarters in the back. Of course, my grandfather didn't own slaves. I'll put that out there. It was just what they used to call the house in the back. And I saw my grandfather walk out, and it was a younger version of my grandfather. And he came walking in, and I remember cognizantly thinking, holy crap, he's dead. What am I seeing him for? And then I thought to myself, too, okay, he's taken this long walk instead of just appearing in front of me to give me a little time to process this. And he walked in the house. He said, hey, kid, we got to talk. And I said, okay. And he said, you're having a rough time with this. And I said, yeah. And we discussed life and death and what comes next. And he gave me all these beautiful answers and things, you know, that to me, I sit back now, you know, at the age of 40, and I think, God, what stupid questions. I, you know, who are you going to live with, grandma or my step-grandmother, you know, when she dies? You know, just stupid stuff. My grandfather worked me through all that little silliness. But the strange thing I had at the end was we were a very huggy, kissy family. And he said, well, kid, I got to get going. And he gave me a hug. And when he did, I first pulled away because it didn't, there was no skin and bone. There was no fabric. It was like this wall of heat vibration I walked into.
Right.
And I pulled back and he had this look and he goes, oh, I'm sorry, you're not used to that. And he said, hold on. He goes, okay, now. And then I hugged him and I could feel, it just felt like I was hugging a human.
Right.
And then as I pulled away and his face started to fade, he said, don't worry, kid, I'm always going to be here with you. I love you. And as his face faded into the black, I sat up in my bed and I could physically smell my grandfather in the room. And, you know, what's really kind of a strange little sideline to this is my girlfriend woke up at that time as I sat up. And she said, what's wrong? And I said, nothing. I just had a dream. And then she said, you got to go close the closet. That I can smell your grandfather's clothing really strong. Go close the closet. And, you know, I saved a lot of his clothing after he passed away just to have it there. And I like to go in the closet and be comforted by that smell. But it wasn't that. I mean, it was like it was in bed with us. It was that strong.
Right. What a gift he gave you. There's a lot of love about that, you know. And you experienced something called clear olfaction, which is the psychic ability of smell.
Okay.
You know, because as I said, everybody is psychic, but we just don't know it, or it's kind of forgotten. When you're a kid, you know it. You don't. It's just a normal thing, and our sensing is. And so that, first off, I want to tell you a couple of things that I picked up just because I'm always in trance right now. So,
well, and I'm curious too, do you think I was dealing with an angel who took the guise of my grandfather?
No,
it was. Or was it my grandfather?
Yes, it definitely was.
Okay.
There's a difference. Angelic beings are usually not really in human form. You know, they are spirits, okay, of energy. They're energy stuff. So typically, they may, there's no substance to them, okay?
Right.
Because they are spirits. They are not human beings.
Well, that's what led me to believe it might have been not my grandfather's spirit because of the warm, the heat energy I ran into.
And, well, when you're on the other side, it's a little different, mm-hmm. you know. You know, the same thing had happened with my father when he died after I had buried him, and I ended up, you know, having, I was the closest, I was so close to him, and I ended up having to deal with the funeral and whatever. And finally, when I got back home to California, you know, I was crying, and I, you know, because it was finally allowed, I was allowed to, you know, get my grief out. And so I took my energy and I actually manifested my father, you know, giving him the strength and energy to appear before me. And my father just said, you know, hey kid, you know, this takes an awful lot of energy. I'm really okay. And he goes, and I'm going to always be with you, just like your grandfather said. And he said, and he goes, but you know, really, I'm having a good time up here. And, whenever you feel a soft wind against your right cheek, that will be me. And it was very interesting. After that, every time I felt that, it was my dad. So loved ones do come back, and especially they hang around for about 2 weeks. And other than that, the only reason that ghosts manifest on this plane, because believe me, it's not the best place to be, and ghosts are really... I don't know whether you want to call it heaven, but they're in spirit, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We are all energy, and we have our soul as energy, and it's this energy. But before I go too far with that, you said a couple of things. One was the fear of death from when you were very little. And I did pick up that in a former life that you were put to death in a very slow, excruciating way, and of being almost mind... told, you know, brainwashed, I guess is the word to say it, to thinking that life was very important. But we really have to understand that every fear in life, and I don't care if it's fear to cross the street or fear to stub your toe, all of these fears all go back and can be traced back to the fear of death. And everybody has this fear of death. And even though we do know that there's life on the other side, and that it's just a different kind of transition, mm-hmm. we still ache for the physicalness, because the difference between passing over and us being here is that we have the gift as human beings of the five senses. We taste, we touch, we smell. And on the other side, we do not have those gifts. We're just pure spirit, you see?
Okay.
So there's a difference. I just thought I'd comment on some of those things.
I appreciate that. But again, you do believe it was a manifestation, even though it was over about a month after my grandfather passed away. You think it was just his way of coming back to clear it up so that I could hopefully move on a little bit?
Absolutely, because what happens here is the ghosts only come back for three or four real reasons. Okay, one is intense emotion. Mm-hmm. Okay, now he loves you so much that he came back because you needed him. That's one instance. In the adverse effect, ghosts can be on because of adverse anger. But whatever anybody was prior in life mm-hmm. doesn't mean that they've changed when they went over the other side. Okay,
oh, geez.
They're still the same person, you know, because their growth pattern is still in that level.
So my hope for my ex-wives to lighten up a little bit is just in vain. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. But you know what? She will. Because
right.
as we grow and we learn our lessons, and we understand to do forgiveness and living in the moment and to be grateful for what we have and not to judge, because we shouldn't judge anybody. We don't have any right to do that. Everybody is existing on their own plane and their own path. But we do have a right to use discernment on what is right for us, you know, because sure. everything that comes into us or through us or by us is all a learning experience to get better and be better people and to contribute to the sense of spirituality in the world. I truly believe that.
Well, let's take our second break here. We'll come back with more and Linda McKenzie right after this. You're listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town radio show. Good evening and welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town paranormal radio show. This is your home for paranormal talk radio every Saturday and Sunday night. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Sitting across the board from me, Tim Dennis. This evening, we're discussing psychic ability, and we're speaking to Linda McKenzie, who has a documentary short film in the Psychic Secrets Unveiled series coming out. I wanted to talk to her about all the aspects of psychic ability, try to examine some of this from a layman's point. You know, you mentioned, Linda, that you think everybody has the ability to be psychic to a degree, or do you think that this is something eventually we're going to all uncork and just be immersed in the fact that we can communicate this way? Is that just where evolution is going to take us?
Oh, I think so. I truly believe that because it's a much better way. As a matter of fact, so does the government believe that, because they have a new thing out called telepathy. Which is in the DVD about Many Faces of Psychic Ability, where they're actually putting devices in the mind, and people in the air, for example, can see, you know, if you're a helicopter pilot in the middle of a war, they can actually see the terrain. The people on the ground, the soldiers on the ground, can actually see the terrain from the guy's mind.
Really?
Yeah, they have all of that already. And it's called telepathy. But because that's man-made, it's not really a good way to go because, you know, whoever controls the equipment controls you and controls what you're
doing. Gotcha, sure.
So I kind of think that this is like a supervillain come to life, you know?
Okay.
So, but what they did was take the psychic gift of telepathy, which is mind-to-mind communication, and they have researched it to be telepathy, where they actually put technical devices on you so that you could see and whatever. So it's kind of interesting.
I've been trying, because people have told me, you know, Dave, you definitely have some ability. You just have to learn to hone it. And I've been trying just even little things. I'll flip open my phone seconds before a text message comes in. You know, seconds before my phone will start to ring for a phone call. And I've been trying to test myself to that. You know, how many times I flip open my phone at a precise moment out of the blue, and how long it takes for a call to come in or a text message to come in. And I've been startling myself with just how quick I'm on the trigger with this stuff at this point in my life. And, you know, I mean, do you recommend baby steps like that when people are starting to get to open up their deal? You know, should there be something that they work on? You know, I've always had the feeling like, you know, boy, I'm thinking about my cousin Bob today. I haven't talked to him in 3 years. And, boy, he's just really on my mind, and my phone rings within a few seconds of that thought, and it's my cousin.
You want to know the secret to psychic ability?
Please.
All right. It's three words. And when I die, I hope they put it on my little grave, my tombstone. It's to feel, know, and trust. Three little words, very hard to do.
Right.
You have to feel it, you have to know it, and you have to trust it. Here's a good secret for everyone to live life by. Whatever your first gut feel is before you start thinking is always 100% right. So what we have to do is we have to train ourselves to feel, know, and trust it. And you'll be 100% right 100% of the time. But when the mind comes in, you know, you have this left logical side.
Right.
That's going A, B, C, D, E. And then you have this right creative side, which is unlimited possibilities and actually does all the work. But the right side of the brain is very kind, and it lets the left side go, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this. And the right side says, well, you know, if you just be quiet, I can manifest anything you want. And the left side says, but you got to do this, you got to do this. So when you go to sleep, mm-hmm. your right side of the brain takes over. And that's why sometimes when you're very sick and you wake up in the morning, you're feeling better because the right side is helping to do what you need to do.
See, I just have problems with, you know, I get a lot of those feelings too. And, you know, where I get a knee jerk and I know I should do something, but then I've got that negative chatter in my head.
Yeah.
Don't be stupid. You shouldn't do that. God, you're going to get your butt kicked, or, you know, it's a bad choice, or you're going to lose money, or don't do this, don't do that. And then I talk myself out of it. And then sure enough, if I would have just laid it all out on the line at that moment, things would have totally gone the other way for me. How do you get past that, the chatter?
Well, there's a whole...
Because that's not logic to me. That's just like the scared little kid inside me going, oh, no, don't do that. You're going to get in trouble.
Right. Well, you know, it's first off, I think it's a learning process. You know, in your 20s, you're grasping at all knowledge. In your 30s, you're applying that knowledge, and you want to shake the world. In your 40s, you're saying, okay, well, I did that, and I think there's got to be more to life. In your 50s, you know, you go, okay, now I get it a little bit. It's, you know, to be magnanimous and to really understand and to just be who I am, and it's fine. And in your 60s, which I will be next year, which we don't even know, you know.
Right.
But each decade gives us things. So when you reach your 40s is really when you can really take a lot of these experiences and really start developing them. However, young children today that are coming in are more wired to psychic stuff, and we are more open as a society because I've been doing my job for 15 years and all the other people out there. And the difference is that now, because of all this information coming in and everybody doing it their way, everybody's saying, it's my way's right, my way's right, and there is no right way. Because your way is the right way. And that's why I purport in the film that you're your own best psychic. And just because somebody has psychic ability doesn't mean they should be doing readings. Because, you know, it takes a special, you have to know where the energy is coming from. Is it coming from the earth? Is it coming from the from people? We're all connected. Is it coming from the universe? Is it coming from God? You have to figure out where this energy is coming from.
So are we basically just like a big pitcher, and we're getting all this information from all these different strainers, if you will? And is that the part? Yeah, because see, that's where I get is, how do you know if you're getting divine word against, you know, picking up on somebody's emotions or energy in the room? And, you know, that's one thing I've always said. I don't know that I'm necessarily psychic. I would say I'm probably more of a an empath, because in large crowds, I just get wired and bonky feeling. It's like there's so much going on that I can't focus.
Well, intuition is an empath, or, you know, well, actually, it's kind of close to clairsentience, where you're feeling other people's feelings. And
right.
clairsentience is one of the psychic abilities of feeling. But I think that everybody has to find their own way and their own truth. Now, here's something that works for me, and, you know, because everybody's path is different. So it's you have to find your truth. When you are connected to the highest power, you know it. I mean, there's a truth. If there's a place to do, you know, that little thing where you're doing right and wrong.
Right.
You know what's right. You know the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So you work on trying to find that energetic path, and then you align yourself with that, okay?
Right.
But it's a little tough. I don't have all the answers for you because, as I said, everybody's path is different. But what you're doing is right, is keep testing it out and testing it out and testing it out.
No, you know, I want to take it to another level other than just knowing when my phone's going to ring and when I'm going to get a new text message.
Why?
Of course, I want to start tapping in on this.
Why?
I just don't know how, and I think a lot of my listeners, you know, especially the ladies, I don't know if it's guys just try to cloak it with, you know, feelings or whatever. You know, the women seem to be more in touch with that part of themselves where they feel that intuition. You know, I mean, there's always been the term women's intuition where they've just got
well,
that feel.
That's really because of a scientific, a biological function. A man thinks from one side of the brain and then the other. For example, there's a pathway between the both sides of the brain. And the man will think either logical or into creative. And usually the path doesn't, they go in a one-way direction. With women, we are doing things in two-way directions. Both sides, both the communication is going two ways at the same time.
Okay.
What's happening is that when men are opening up to this, they actually start to establish that communication. So that's why it seems to be a little bit harder for a guy to do it. But as you grow and open your mind and, combine that creative with the logical, and it's the balance of that is where psychic ability really comes in, because you do have to use discernment on where this energy is coming from. For example, I had a young girl write me, and she said, I talk to all these people, and it's great. And I said, well, you know, that's great, and if you want to develop your psychic ability, try and find your path to God. And she said, well, I think there's a lot of people out there, and I don't think that it's just God. And I said, well, you could call it divine source. I said, but here's the deal. In the universe, you can talk to anyone. I said, so if you were on the street and somebody came up and talked to you, would you believe them if you didn't know them?
Right.
And I said, and there's the difference.
When you know, that's where it lends back to when I was talking earlier about, do you believe it was a ghost or an angel? You know, the reason that I also have kind of had a reservation thinking it was an angel is it's a lot easier if an angelic takes the form of my grandfather. I'm going to listen to my grandfather and his sage advice more than I would this light being showing in front of me and going, ooh, David, everything will be fine, you know, because then you start to, your rational mind takes over and then it boots you out and you're like, you know, I was just a dream, and you might discard it more than if it appears in the form of grandma, mom, dad, cousin, sister, brother, presenting this message to you.
No, that was definitely your grandfather, okay. Because I went back in time and saw that with you.
All right. Well, we're going to take our third break here. Bear with us. We'll be right back. Our guest is Linda McKenzie. Check out our website at lindamckenzie.net. You're listening to Darkness Radio. Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Dave Schrader, and this evening we're speaking with Linda McKenzie. Linda McKenzie is a psychic. She's working on delivering a message to people with her new documentary short film called Psychic Secrets Unveiled, and it's a series. I wanted to talk to her, and we've been discussing a little bit about psychic abilities, where they come from, how to start. You were mentioning discernment, Linda, in the last segment, discerning where these different streams of information are coming from. Are there bad streams that we have to look out for? Is there a dark side that would feed us BS information?
When you first come out as a psychic, you have to kind of think that, you know, everybody, when you first start developing your intuitive abilities, it's kind of, since everything is made of energy and everything exists, it's like the dark side's there and then there's the light mm-hmm. side, okay? And both want this energy. So they come kind of bombard you with a lot of stuff, okay? And because each one wants it for their side. But the light side allows you to use free will, whereas the dark side wants you to, they may lead you to sensationalistic or feelings. One of the things I do want to make clear from the last segment is, why do you want to be a psychic? Because I can tell you that the reasons, you know, you're karmically responsible. If I give you some information and then you tell someone else and that person tells someone else, I'm karmically responsible for that information. So if it's not in truth, I get the bad demerits, you know, and I get the back.
Okay.
So when you, and then a lot of psychics, you know, are not trained as psychologists. And a lot of times people need to go through the process. For example, I would say to you, if you still have a fear of death, you may want to go through a psychologist or not a shrink. And you got to be careful, the psychologist, check them out good. But you might want to go there so that you can stop the process. Okay, so psychics aren't there, and they're never 100% right. Can't be, because we have this wonderful free will. Each human has the free will to choose, you see?
Gotcha.
So a psychic, it takes a little capsule. We kind of see something in time, and it may or may not happen because, you know, of the dynamics of the situation, you know, of surrounding. Because everybody exists and everybody's energy. So what we need to do, and one of the reasons that I wanted to do the Psychic Secrets Unveiled series, of which the Many Faces of Psychic Ability is the number one, is to teach people about these 11 energy zones. Now, God gave me a great capacity of taking very complex information and making them user-friendly to everybody so they can understand.
Okay.
And so what I'm doing is giving you great little overviews. And if you wanted to go out and research all of these things, there's certainly, you can spend a lifetime on one of these things. But what I wanted to do is kind of bring truth in and give everybody a level playing ground that they could believe in and see and sense. And then they could move off and learn the truth on their own. And there are exactly 11 energy zones that psychics have to interpret to see where the energy is coming from before they even should open their mouth during a reading. You see? Because you need to know where these things are coming from. And that's what these, so that you can correctly interpret it. And I think that once I am able to give this to people, then each one can take this information and they'll be led. Whenever you need a new teacher, it will automatically come. But here's the deal with that. When you get a new teacher, it may be a book that you are drawn to, it may be somebody you meet, somebody you talk to, a movie, everything that's around you. You take the information that you need, and it may be only one sentence in that book or one paragraph in that seminar. And the minute that you feel uncomfortable, again, going back to your gut feel, get out of there. Walk away, because you've already gotten what your next step is. Again, that comes back to feel, know, and trust, you see? Mm-hmm. See, when you develop those things and you find your truth, it's like a certain energy. When you're with God, you know, and you know what? One of the ways that you can figure it out is, do you remember the love that you felt when your grandfather touched you?
Right.
And gave you that hug?
Mm-hmm.
It was like a oneness. You know, like you knew you could trust what he was saying.
Right.
That, for you, when you get that feeling, that's when you're right in the zone. Okay?
Okay.
For other people, it may be different things. Some people, when I first started, I would get a small physical feeling in the lower part of my back, and I knew that that was when I was connected to God. Other than that, I'm just hearing chatter from everybody else, you know?
Right.
Which may or may not be correct.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's it too. And I've watched psychics, and I don't know, when you've watched other psychics and mediums do their work, how often do you think people that are quote-unquote psychics are nothing more than just really good studies, you know, people that are good at studies of human nature and personality, and they're just maybe giving more advice veiled through, oh, grandpa says this, or grandma says that, or mom wants you to know this?
Well, there's a bonus feature on this DVD called How to Select a Psychic.
Okay.
There is a, on my website, I have a psychic code of ethics. But what happens is that there's an awful lot of people, for example, not many people know this, but most psychics do electrical energy. It's an electrical energy kind of a form. You know, being an old engineer, I like all this energy stuff.
Sure.
But I'm very strange. I give out electromagnetic energy. And when the Society for Paranormal Research has been studying me for years, I mean, you know, studying my abilities for years. And what they found is that I give off this electromagnetic energy, and no live person gives out electromagnetic energy. Only dead people. And I keep telling them I'm alive. I think I'm alive. But so I'm a little different than most psychics out there, and I don't do readings anymore, except on my radio show. But they're for free, because I'm trying to educate the world to get it to its next step. So I'm doing many, many things to shift this planet to a positive way, so that we can all coexist and help each other and get to that next stage where we can all be happy and be taken care of and learn our lessons in peace, you know. So
now mention that too, so people know how to find your radio show. How can they tune you in online and find out where you're at?
Well, they can tune in online at healthylife.net. I founded this station. I was on terrestrial radio for 8 years. And I found that there was a lot of, I was number one in my market, you know, very first time out. And I went to 246 markets to 9 million people, and I couldn't get anybody to syndicate a positive radio show, because I don't believe that, you know, you have a choice whether you want to take negativity or not.
Right.
And I think that if you go to the positive side and say the glass is half full, it's just going to make you feel better.
Exactly.
You know, and it's going to bring good things to you, because like attracts like in the universal law. So why think bad when you can think good, and then things happen? So I just got kind of frustrated and started my own network, and we're doing real well. You know, we go to over 1 million listeners a month now, and we're doing very, very well. So I'm very proud of that.
And again, the website that they can go listen to the different shows?
HealthyLife.net.
HealthyLife.net. We got about a minute and a half left in this hour. We'll be back with more with Linda after the top of the hour. But Linda, kind of wrapping up with this hour, you'd mentioned some of the 11 energy places. I'd like to talk about that when we come back into the second hour of the show here. And I'd also like to get your feel on, you mentioned a lot that, you know, you feel this is a God-given gift. And, you know, I know it's kind of a strange point to bring in, but a lot of people are brought up, especially it seems a lot of people in the Catholic faith are brought up believing that these kind of gifts are not necessarily from God, but from, you know, a darker place. And I'd like to see, you know, have you address some of that with us as well on what your thoughts and knowledge of that you've been given from the other side and given from God. And, you know, those are just things that I've had a lot of, you know, trouble wrapping my head around. I know a lot of my listeners, they look for help from mediums. They want to talk to people that they feel are very gifted and good at what they do. But then they're trying to combat the negativity they've been taught through the church, that what we're doing by seeking help and counsel from a medium or a psychic is nothing short of, you know, treason, and it's a form of sin. So I'd like you to kind of weigh in on that. We'll get more into that after the top of the hour here. And I thank you very much for joining us and being a part of the show tonight.
Well, thank you very much for having me. It was a pleasure.
You bet. We're going to be back with more. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show.